Vlogcast episode 105, Liar, Lunatic, or Lord. Gideon conquers, the church conquers, we conquer because faith conquers. But the victory belongs not to Gideon, the church, or ourselves, but to God. And God's victory means our defeat, our humiliation. It means God's derision and wrath at the human pretensions of might, at humans puffing themselves up and thinking they are somebody's themselves. It means the world and its shouting is silenced, that all our ideas and plans are frustrated. It means the cross. The cross over the world that means that human beings, even the most noble, go down to dust, whether it suits them or not, and with them all the gods and idols and lords of the world. The cross of Jesus Christ, that means God's bitter mockery of all human grandeur and God's bitter suffering and all human misery. God's lordship over the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Vlogcast. Get in the arena.
All right, everybody, welcome to another fun-filled, fact-filled, triggering episode of Flawcast. As always, I'm with Carl. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Oh, I'm happier than a pig in mud.
I'm sure you are. Before we do our pledge, I'd like to say this.
Please.
I like to make you get nervous, and I watch you get the look of shock and awe on your face by declaring something to you you didn't know before we began our podcast.
Oh, gosh, okay.
But at some point in this podcast, I'm going to interject another one of my scientific experiments I performed over the holidays.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to set it up, tell you the results, tell you what it means, and explain it to people because it's really interesting. Coincidentally enough, I think it goes along with what we want to talk about today. So I wanted to unleash that on you. I see you're fidgety, you're giggling, you're red because you have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I love that you keep me on my toes, and I'm excited. Your experiments that we discussed last episode were fantastic.
Yeah, I thought they tied in very well.
I think they did too, and I think it's going to tie in well, but let's get the particulars out of the way. Make sure, if you're listening, that you continue to share and subscribe. We're everywhere you can listen to podcasts, Flawcast, Flawcast CLE. Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Breaker. You can now find us on Getter, the new social media platform, where you can find us also at the rest of the other Project Mockingbird social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Gab. We're on Parler, Flawed Inc. Also on YouTube and Rumble at Flawed Inc. Make sure you get a copy of my book, Smith's Heart of Man Repair Manual. Give that to everybody you know. I have a dream of being on the New York Times best-selling list, or at least on the Amazon bestseller list, and only you can make that happen. So I do want to thank you in advance for all that. And Carl, without any further ado, we will do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, let's all place our right hand over our left heart and repeat after us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Throw out a more God, because we haven't done that in a while. So in our attempt this year to kind of bring things down to the lowest common denominator, which Carl and I have been daily talking about, at the onset of this year, the lowest common denominator that we can break things down is what effectively this episode is going to be about. And we will and are going to continue talking about the political state of things. We're going to be continuing to talk about the eschatological state of things, which are nothing but intermingled. We are being funneled into this time in history where I personally believe that the Antichrist system is being deployed on the earth. And I think this could be our most jarring episode, because this episode, literally, we are confronting you with the idea of eternity. And the whole idea of the liar, lunatic, or Lord is something that C.S. Lewis, who one of my favorite authors, is a pontification, if you will, upon the claims of Christ. And we're going to kind of get into that. We're going to break that down in a really rudimentary level. However, where we're at right now in human history, the most primordial, the most basic thing that you need to know and that you need to hear is this. Christ is one of three things.
and you read the scriptures, if you read what people wrote about him, even if you read the historical texts that were written by contemporaries of his day, his claims, what he talked about, makes him one of three things. He is either a liar, he was a stark, raving lunatic, he was, you know, guano crazy, as I like to say, or he was, in fact, who he claimed to be, which was the Lord of Lords. He was the Yeshua HaMashiach. He was the sacrificial lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, which the scripture talks about. And why this is so important is because I personally believe, and I think Carl agrees with me as well, is that moving into this time, we are not in a position where we can trust in medical establishments, government establishments, financial establishments. And I'm going to say this, which is going to be very controversial, but even typical religious or quote-unquote faith-based organizations or structures, we have to solely wrestle and come to a determination of what we need to do with the man Christ. And that's what we are going to be presenting and we're going to be confronting with you today. Let me share a couple quotes here from C.S. Lewis. This is actually something from Mere Christianity, which is one of my favorite books. I've read it a number of times. Once again, C.S. Lewis is just such a profound author, such a profound thinker. It says, the liar, lunatic, or lord argument attempts to present a case through process of elimination of all other options that Jesus Christ must have been God. It was proposed by C.S. Lewis and popularized in his book, Mere Christianity. His quote is, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And that's a quote from Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. You know, the whole premise is this. One, Jesus, that he made great claims. Two, that these claims are of a nature that certain implications about his character. A lunatic. Jesus was not God, but he mistakenly believed that he was. B, liar. Jesus was not God, and he knew it, but he said so anyway. Or C, Lord. Jesus was telling the truth and is God. So the third part of this is that through the process of elimination, we can exclude the possibility of lunatic and liar. The existential evidence and the textual evidence and the historical evidence combined proves overwhelmingly, on a logical basis, I would add, that Jesus was the Lord and God and the man who he claimed to be. Now, I can tell you on a spiritual level, I have discovered this to be true in a manner of where the supernatural realm has invaded the natural realm that we inhabit. And Jesus had introduced himself initially to me in the summer of 1998. I went to this thing that my mom had bugged me to go to, this play. And it was just the weirdest thing I ever saw. I was not raised in church. I had no idea of that. I've heard of Jesus and I thought he was a cool guy. But the argument that C.S. Lewis was making, he was just a good dude. He was like Buddha. He was like, you know, Muhammad or, you know, whomever you would want to put up in that frame of religious figureheads. I had no real background or knowledge of that until at that moment when a supernatural overwhelming force crushed me and literally felt like hands were placed on my body to propel me to this place to come to this guy who I've never seen since and say, I don't know what is going on, but this is what is happening and I need to know what or who this man Christ is. And the journey ever since now has been like 23, 24 years. However, there was a resolution in my spirit that something greater than me was acknowledging my existence, and that acknowledging that that thing, who I now know is Christ, wanted to have a relationship with me. Carl?
Yeah, so of course, this is like just about everything you introduce to me, topic-wise, something I haven't heard of.
Oh, okay.
So,
sorry, but that's cool.
Yeah. So I had time to think about this. And logically, I think I eliminated one of these three things that he could be. Now, I'm sure that shocks you. And I'm not going to write another book.
With you, nothing really shocks me.
I assumed that also. So, and the reason, and I'm going to tell you why I have thought this way. If he were the liar, that would mean intentional deception of his followers.
Yes.
If he were a lunatic, that would mean unintentional deception because he's a lunatic.
Yes.
So a lunatic that makes claims can literally convince themselves that they are all of those things.
Sure.
If they're mentally deranged. Like they can believe that garbage. So with Jesus, if you look at this logically and you say, the first one I've eliminated, and I'm going to tell you why. Because he had such great knowledge of the law. He revealed that. So for him to be a liar, intentionally deceiving, he wouldn't have went out of his way to have so many confrontations with the Sanhedrins, with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Because most of his arguments that he had, and he didn't really argue, he just simply talked, and then people got mad. So that in today's society, that's an argument. Like if you say something that offends somebody, hurts somebody's feelings, even if it's the truth, you just argued with them. I mean, you can say it with love, but okay. So if he is talking to the doctors of the law, the educated, and he's even more educated than them, and he's making claims that say he is the Son of God, then because of his knowledge of the law, he would have known that that punishment was death. Because for anyone to declare themselves the Son of God, your punishment for the declaration and the continued declaration of that statement was death.
Yeah.
You were to be crucified and killed, which in the end resulted in his crucifixion anyway, which he allowed to happen, because the Bible says at any time, at his command, he had 10,000 angels just waiting to come down and free him from that. But he chose to endure that joy of the cross, which was nothing but utter misery and pain. And the joy wasn't the crucifixion. The joy was the resurrection.
Yeah.
The joy was him knowing that we needed a sin payment. We needed an atonement for our sin. And we were incapable to justify ourselves. So he willingly did that. But if he were a liar and he was just trying to deceive people, to me, I've eliminated that. Because that is nothing more than a mission of suicide, because he knew in the end, by making that lie and making those decrees, that his life would be taken. So I eliminated that.
So Bill? So most con men aren't going to go to that length, to that depth, to pull something over.
No.
People. Yes.
All you got to do is look at the politicians. If they thought that what they were doing was going to cause them to lose their life,
yeah,
I would think maybe at that point they would stop.
Right.
And so that right there answers your question. They exemplify what a liar does, what a liar's purpose is. If you're going to lie to a mass of people, it really is to gain something, not lose your life.
Right.
So my thinking immediately out of the gate is, if I look at today's modern liars, I look at what they're gaining. They're gaining control. They're gaining power.
Wealth.
Their income is gaining. They're gaining prominence. Okay, that's why you're a liar. You lie to gain, not to lose. So I eliminated liar because he has too much knowledge of these people's teachings that he is going against to know if I continue this, not only am I not going to gain anything, I am going to lose my life.
Right.
So liar, off the board.
Okay.
Now, I move to lunatic. Lunatic, to me, is not an option. And I'll tell you why. Because at some point, a lunatic proves to people they're a lunatic. They may have cunning words. They may have cunning ways. They may be able to manipulate to a certain extent. But over time, a Nancy Pelosi will reveal who she is. A lunatic will reveal who they are. A Hillary will declare you a deplorable, even though that's not in their scripted lines.
Right.
Even though they don't want you to know what they really think about you, they will mess up eventually. They will go off the prompter. They will go off the note cards and make a mistake. Lunatics make mistakes. They've always made mistakes, eventually. There's a saying that says, if you give the devil enough rope, eventually he hangs himself. Lunatics, generally speaking, do not take. Jesus had 3.5 years in his ministry. At no point do we find where anything that happened, happened without him allowing it to happen. He made no mistakes. Everything that happened was supposed to happen. Everything that happened had a purpose. It had a reason. It wasn't just aimless. It wasn't just a wasted encounter, a wasted story, a wasted moment. Nothing was wasted. He couldn't be a lunatic because I find no mistakes in his 3.5 years of what his purpose was stated at the beginning and what his purpose happened at the completion. In between the beginning and the end of his ministry, there wasn't a mistake to be made. He couldn't be a lunatic. I've eliminated that. Now, that leaves us with one possibility. He is Lord.
Yes.
In logical conclusion. And that's where I am with this.
Well, I agree. And I want to say a couple things. Once again, people feel uncomfortable being presented with this. And I get that. And I don't want to minimize or dismiss or discount that. When I think of the things that Carl just brought up, to me, I think that of the last century, the two most famous cult leaders, I would say, are Charles Manson and Jim Jones. People could argue, you know, Koresh or, you know, whomever. Let's just go with the two big ones that I can think of off the top of my head. And I think both of these men demonstrated the capacity to be both liars and lunatics at the same time, because there's no consistency in any of their claims. And it was only causing harm and damage and division, which, once again, you can look at contemporaries of history and the writings of Christ's day, and there is a mass cooperation between his claims in, or the claims in the scriptures in regards to what actually happened, and also in what a lot of these gentlemen wrote. So it's this idea of being confronted with Jesus as Lord. My purview is this, is that most of the mainline Protestant, evangelical, maybe even Catholic churches in America have, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, and please, if you think differently, let us know, have done a gross injustice of authentically demonstrating and representing not just the life of Christ, but teaching the life of Christ. Because often what we find in the scripture doesn't align. When you talk about someone who's a liar or a con man, normally, like Carl was saying, the gain is for control and wealth and status. Jesus was poor. He said, the birds of the air have a place to go, and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nothing. He was despised and rejected. You can read in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And I believe one translation says, well acquainted with grief. Jesus isn't this guy, and I write about in my books, A Selfish Plug, A Warrior Mentality. We have to take a look at and really consider this historical Jesus, and the fact that where we are at in history, even this week, there was this big announcement that a elementary school in Illinois, I think I sent you the article.
Yeah, you did send it to me, and I did read it, and it made me sick.
They are now having, they call it the Satan Club, where in elementary school are doing these teachings and in the indoctrination is what I believe it is, in regards to the fact that there is no God, there is no morality. Remember, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is to convince people he doesn't exist. And if you can convince the people that the devil doesn't exist, then the next logical step is that, well, God doesn't exist. Therefore, there is no morality. There is no ethical way to conduct oneself and one's life. Now, where we're at in the culture is that with all this blatant evil that's coming out, and I'm sorry that you can look at things and you can put your head in the sand or you can just turn this off or whatever. In our regard for your well-being, you are going to need the strong tower of Christ to run into for what's coming. I believe that as true as I'm sitting here in my office with Carl doing our podcast. If you do not have a rudimentary basic understanding of Christ as God in your life, the days that are coming are increasingly darker. They are going to become increasingly more deceptive. They're going to become increasingly more desperate. And the only anchor, the only true compass I know, the only root, the only foundation that I know to tell you to be able to have any hope of not making it out of life alive, but making life into eternity is through relationship with the man Christ. Most churches aren't going to be this blunt and tell you that because it's all about business. It's all about power and growing and this and that. Freely I receive, freely I'm going to give. I don't care about any of that. I think I can speak for Carl. I don't want status. I don't care if people know me. I genuinely don't. However, what is important is that you, at the end of this, make a decision about Christ one way or another. And I believe, and I'm interested in hearing the experiment that Carl was talking about, and I'm going to put a plug in it for a moment, but I'm telling you, look around, take the blinders off, and look around at what's going on. People are dying left and right, and the government and health agencies are telling you what's happening isn't what's happening. The governmental systems that are now occupied and controlled by the literal spirit of the Antichrist are manipulating and funneling people into a one-world currency, a one-world governmental type system. This Mark of the Beast system is being deployed and implemented. You can look at it through the social credit scores, whatever you want to call it. What is happening now is a full onslaught. We have passed the Rubicon, and we are now, I believe, well into this point. And a lot of these things we are talking about might be more than elementary, but basically to boil it down, we are now in the time that Christ refers to as birth pains or labor pains before the revealing of the man of lawlessness, that Antichrist, and before his return. This is a truth that you need to come to some sort of resolution with. I'm going to turn it over to Carl.
So with the experiment that I did, I wanted to establish a thought, and I think it goes along with what we're saying today. Denying something doesn't exist is not the same as believing something doesn't exist. That was my hypothesis on this science experiment. So I'll state it one more time because I want people to follow me because I'm building to something. Denying that something doesn't exist is not the same as believing something does not exist. That was my thought. I've stated on the podcast in the past that I have an array of associates and friends. Business has put me in the homes of people that I've established relationships with. Some of those relationships have turned into friendships. That is why I have friends from all walks of life. A certain group that I have friendship and relationship with are atheists. They like the way that they're treated, knowing that I am a Christian, and then me knowing they declare they don't believe in God. And so I would be considered a friend. We have been able to have a relationship. So I hung out with one of what I would consider to be my closer friends that are atheists. I said, "Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions that I'm wondering?" Generally, we don't do the spiritual talk, because that was, you know, our relationship wasn't formed that way. It wasn't began that way. But over time, things evolved. And of course, they're cool with me. So he said, no. I said, "I have a question for you. Would you be offended if I prayed to Santa Claus?" And he started laughing hysterically. He thought that was hilarious. And I said, "If that one makes you laugh, maybe this one would too. Would you be offended or bothered or uncomfortable if I prayed to the Easter Bunny, and they did laugh tremendously again, like, yeah, that's hilarious. No. And I'm like, well, what about the Tooth Fairy? No, wouldn't be offended. Then I asked the question that I kind of knew would make them look at me puzzled. And I said, what about if I just now started praying to God? And they looked confused, not mad. This was different than the last experiment that I introduced where I received anger and aggression.
Yeah, for Biden. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, they told me to, you know, kiss their ass pretty much.
Listen to our last episode.
Yeah. Look, go back and listen because I did another experiment. And
Carl is our resident mad scientist.
Yeah. I just get these weird thoughts. And so my thinking was when they were confused that they needed some time before I pushed the issue. So I dropped it because I kind of got my answer by the facial expression. But to my surprise, they were the ones that brought it up back to me before I left. And they said, you know, that was a couple of crazy questions you asked, man. What was that all about? And I'm like, I just wanted to see something. And he's like, oh, and I left it at that. And about a minute later, he's like, hey, dude, like, what'd you want to see? And I'm like, I wanted to see if the way you laughed when I asked you if I prayed to Santa Claus and the way you laughed when I said, do you mind if I pray to the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy? I wanted to see if when I asked you if I prayed to God, if you would laugh the same way, and you didn't. And that answered my question. Because I didn't want to wreck a friendship. I didn't want to upset a friend. What I wanted to do was to be able to verify my thinking inside me that I have thought that says denying something doesn't exist does not mean that that issue is settled within you. And then I found a scripture that explains why the results of this experiment went the way they went. It's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and this is Paul speaking. God has given every man a measure of faith. That word measure means a seed. God has given every man and every woman at the time that they are born a gift from him, and it is a seed of faith. That seed is up to you and I. Where are we going to plant it? Where are we going to throw this seed? What are we going to believe in? It was intended to be what we use to seek relationship, but there is a yearning inside of all of us, all races, all genders, which would be both, all people from all walks of life, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, have been given a gift from God, and that gift is a seed. It is a measure. There is faith in everyone, and that seed can be misplaced. That seed is being fought over in your school systems, through your government, through your news that you watch, through the people that you listen to, through the people that you respect and the people that you give trust to. There is a seed in everybody. And right now, at this time in history, as Christians, we must be ready because people are going to be shocked. People's worlds are going to crumble. People are going to be shaken because the seed that God gave them to put in him and belief in him, that he is not a liar and he is not a lunatic, but he is Lord. And that seed that every man and woman has to be placed somewhere. And every time an atheist who declares they don't believe in God is confronted with his name, I believe that that seed inside them quivers just a little bit. I believe the reason that there is anger when an atheist sees prayer at a football game or a basketball game or an atheist hears that somebody mentioned the name of God is because that misguided seed that is in them is placed in the wrong thing. And they still do believe. They believe in something or they believe in many things, but those things they believe in are failing them. They are not giving them inside them what God can give them. And we've said this before, the freedom from sin, the freedom from the laws of eternal separation that only comes from God through Jesus, and that seed is in all of us, and it is ready to be placed in the right ground, and that ground is Jesus is Lord. He is not a liar. He is not a lunatic, but he is Lord. And accepting that and embracing that develops what you had said earlier, personal relationship. And that is where we're going. We're going to need that. And non-Christians need to come to that. But even Christians that have a system of rules and beliefs and a very comfortable lifestyle that has ethics and morals and standards, if you're missing the personal relationship of the aspect that Jesus desires to have with you, you have even misplaced your seed. Even Christians that are taking the seed and putting it in other things, they are misplacing the responsibility they have of their seed and where they put that. So this experiment showed me that this one friend that I have, he's settled the issue of whether or not he believes in Santa, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy, because he found it so humorous. But that one issue I'm talking about God, I noticed that the seed that is in him is still there. It's not dead. Because I saw, and he displayed and demonstrated, he has not yet settled the issue for himself that God does not exist.
As you're talking, there's a scripture that came to my mind, and it's in Matthew verse 7. And it's Jesus talking, and it's a horrifying comment he makes. It literally, it's probably the scariest verse in the scripture. And I'm going to paraphrase, and I don't remember the exact address, but it's in Matthew 7. And it's Jesus, and he's saying, there's going to be people that will come to me and say, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I prophesy? Mm-hmm. Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal the sick in your name? Didn't I go to homeless shelters? Didn't I help orphans? Didn't I help widows? Wasn't I a good person? Didn't I live a good life? Didn't I try to be the best father, mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever? Didn't I try to do this and this? And this is his reply. This is what he says. This is the moment where people are going to enter either into life or death in eternity. And what he said is, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. When he says, I never knew you, is a remark of a relationship, meaning I know Carl. He and I have an intimate relationship. We talk almost every day. We pray, we plan. But if I didn't, I couldn't tell people I know him. I know of him. I have heard and rumored, and I think he's a pretty cool dude. But the fact that I have a relationship with Carl, and it ebbs and flows, and like all relationships do, I think is an analogy for where we need to come to some point in our spirit and in our life where we just simply say, God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. There's no other option. And if you choose to believe that, awesome. But if you choose to not believe that, okay. Personally, I think it kind of sucks, but I don't want to so much sit here and browbeat and belittle and be disrespectful, because I personally think the Church of America does a fine job of that. I want to say our goal is this, is that as we are going to endeavor this year to bring you analysis, and we're going to bring you what God does share with us, because it's important to him, and that for some reason he's chosen us in this moment of history to do this. We are going to continue to, as authentically and accurately as possible, bring that to you. However, on a personal note, and I'm just speaking for me right now, if you have not made some sort of a decision on who not just Jesus is. Is he a great teacher? Absolutely. Did he have a lot of upright and moral and ethical things to teach? 100%. But so did the Stoics, and so did Gandhi, and so did Buddha, and so are different teachings of the Hare Krishnas. And there's elements of of all kinds of faith or philosophy or whatever you want to say, that where you can find good moral things to guide your life. And I would just tell you this. Beyond guiding your life, the foundation and the bedrock of your life has to be firmly planted on Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm sorry to say this, but where we are heading in the near future, if you don't have that bedrock, and I'm not talking, I want to challenge your perception. It's not these pastors that have these big mega churches. It's not these priests and these Gothic cathedrals, and there is no big me in regards to the spiritual universe other than Christ. Once again, your decision on whether he is liar, lunatic, or Lord is what this is about. It's not about if you're perfect. It's not about if people perceive your quote-unquote moral choices to be in line with theirs. It has nothing to do with it. My relationship with Carl is completely different than my relationship with Jason or whomever. It's my relationship. It's our relationship. And it's the same thing with God. I want to challenge that these fundamental religious boundaries and these boxes that people have been put in are man-made and they're manufactured. They aren't genuine. When you read the scriptures, you read that Christ's bestest, closest friends were horrible people that were sinners that just acknowledged who he was and that they need him in his life. So unless Carl has anything to add, I think we'll kind of sign off. And I would just say, I want you to wrestle with this, and I don't want you to dismiss this. If you have, then okay, cool, then we'll see you next week. But if there's a yearning in your heart, and I believe that as things get darker, that the light in contrast to it will become brighter. And that light is the light of Christ. He says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we don't enter in eternity, and eternity is a byproduct, you know, heaven, Valhalla, whatever people want to call it, that's a byproduct of, you need Christ right now to get through the hell that's being unleashed on our planet. I think we're coming under this period where so much evil has happened, and the quote-unquote moral vanguards of our society have turned a blind eye, or they've been paid off so they can have wealth and status, and they just go and go and go, but there's no real change. And the real change is going to come when people who are just broken and fragmented and despicable enough to say, I can't make this on my own, that yes, I am a mess, and yes, I am deeply, deeply flawed, and I am a person in need of a Savior, Christ. That's when the change is going to come. That's not going to help change a man-made governmental system, but it's going to help you understand and embrace and become a citizen of the kingdom of God. So with that being said, I want to thank you guys for listening. I hope something that we said made sense, or I hope something that we said resonates with your heart and in your spirit. Don't just treat this lightly. I really believe this is something that is on the forefront of God's mind, and I really believe that you need to come to a resolution of this before you move forward with your acceptance or denial or your positioning with the things that are about to begin to happen, which I know sounds esoteric and perhaps gloom and doom, but if you know me, you know that I'm really pragmatic. I'm more often a cup half empty kind of guy. But that being said, please continue to listen and share. If you know someone that needs this, if we've been able to speak to somebody in regards to the acceptance or the acknowledgement or even just the pondering of Christ, share this with them. We're everywhere you can listen to podcasts. Flawcast, Flawcast CLE, Apple, Google Play, Breaker, Spotify. We're on YouTube. We're on Rumble. We're on the Project Mockingbird social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, Gab. We're on Getter. Please get a copy of my book, Smith's Heart of Man and Repair Manual. If you have questions, let us know. But with that being said, don't stop wrestling and contending with this issue until you've come to a steadfast resolution one way or another.